You're listening to ABC Radio. Alice Matthews here with you. Thank you so much for your company this Saturday. Before, we were talking about writing your memoir, and perhaps one of the most well-known memoirs is that of Anne Frank. Her diary's been translated into almost 70 languages, but for writer Ros Bellamy, Diary of a Young Girl is particularly close to their heart. Ros, why did Anne Frank's diary resonate with you?
Hi, Alice. It resonated for so many reasons. I think reading it as a young, Jewish teenager, learning about the Holocaust, and also loving writing myself, it connected for those obvious reasons. Mm. But then there was more to it as well. There was so much about the way, there were so many layers to the way she told her story, what was going on outside with the war, the political aspects, what was happening inside with her family, with feelings that she had that she wasn't sure how to deal with. Mm-hmm. And the way that she brought all of those things together, and it was a record really, as well as a way of explaining and exploring her feelings for herself. But for me, as someone at the time that really had trouble talking about feelings and what was going on for myself and all that sort of thing, seeing the way she did that so bravely, that, let alone everything else that was happening outside, mm-hmm. and just how terrifying her situation was, I was just completely absorbed by that, and for years just kept coming back to that story again and again and thinking what writing did for her during that time as well.
Yeah, I always used to think she was so bold in the way she was just able to talk so frankly about things.
Yeah, I know. Especially, some of the comments about the family and the other family with them as well. She just doesn't hold back at all. And mm-hmm. such a funny, incisive and incredibly articulate writer.
Yeah, absolutely. Ros, you've described yourself as you mentioned, being Jewish and also queer. How did you feel when more paragraphs emerged from Anne's diary, writing about being attracted to girls?
Yeah, it's so funny how, we hear the original story and then there's just something, so societal in the way that came out later. Something about whether we just weren't ready for it back at the time, or getting these little fascinating snippets further down the line. I think for me, there was just, maybe it was, I don't want to say, a knowing of that, but there was something I really connected with that felt queer in the writing already.
Yeah, there you go. It's very interesting to hear you say that.
Yeah, so it wasn't a surprise. There was nothing that I went, oh, wow, really?
Checks it out.
Yeah, there was just something intrinsically really queer about the writing to me, and I don't even know how to explain it, but just something in the tone and the telling that just, really did just check out for me.
How did Anne kind of help you process that aspect of your identity?
I think it comes back to the writing side, I think, for me, more than anything. Just the fact that I was so shy and so introverted, and mm-hmm. writing was the only place where I really felt safe and alive and, explorative and experimental. And it felt, she was very different before the war, or before they went into hiding. She had a very different life to the way I lived mine. But once she was trapped in that situation, writing was just so incredibly important to her day-to-day existence and processing. And so I think for me, it was seeing, someone surviving such a terrible situation, until she didn't after being caught. But someone using writing as a tool for survival, that really was something I related to a lot. And I think before I was ready to talk to anyone about identity and sexuality and things like that, I'd long been doing that in my writing, in my diaries, in my stories. So I just always had that connection. And I think it really just helped me kind of think of a diary as a place where you get to make sense of the things that feel uncomfortable and scary.
It really gives writing so much power in terms of your own survival.
It does.
Yeah. No, please go.
Because of her, I think, as well, that idea of writing and survival. In an article that I wrote a few years ago now, part of what I really wanted to explore in that was I had these quite morbid thoughts related to the war and these fears about things repeating. And Gosh. In all of the scenarios I thought about, it was always writing that I could see as the thing saving me or getting me through it.
If that's so, there, I can get through anything.
Yeah, exactly. And my very strange teenage brain, I can now reflect and go, wow, goodness, the way I saw things. But I definitely would think about, you know, what if I was in the worst possible situation? Okay, well, I could still write. If I didn't have a pen, I could still write in my head and that would get me through.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned that you were shy as a teenager. I know you used to lock your own diary. And as a teenager myself, I was really private about what I wrote too. And I would have been mortified had anybody read them. But you've actually got your own memoir coming out soon. So how did you, I guess, find the courage to unlock that diary for the world to see?
It's such a good question. It took a very long time. Yeah, I used to, like, even just thinking of Anne still, I used to feel a bit guilty that we were reading her diary, you know, even though her dad went through the decision, and I'm sure there was a lot there ethically for him to make that decision.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel guilty that we were reading her private thoughts, and for me at the time, that would have, when I was younger, that would have just been the worst possible scenario to imagine.
Yeah.
But it took probably, I would say, 1 to 2 decades to get to a point where that was even remotely a feasible thought of publishing. Nonfiction about identity, particularly. In my earlier 20s, it was all about writing fiction that was very thinly veiled about things I wanted to explore but didn't have the courage to write nonfiction about. And it wasn't really until my 30s that I kind of went, I guess I started playing around with it as a genre, and I loved it and really just took to it, and it made so much sense. And I wished I'd been writing that all along, that style of writing. And I went to workshops around it. And once I was doing that, a book started forming. And I honestly had to just go through a process that took a very long time of getting myself okay with the idea of sharing these things with the public.
Yes. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's something about your 30s where things just clicked for me a little bit more, and I just became a bit more comfortable within myself. And did that have anything to do with it for you?
I think so. I remember when I was, I write about this in the memoir, actually, when I was shopping for an outfit for my 30th birthday, and the lady in the shop was saying to me, oh, you're turning 30. You know, everything changes after that age. Like, you really start. And she was saying all these great things, and I was kind of like, really? And quite dubious about it. But then it really did change.
Oh, so she was pumping you up for your 30s.
She really was. She was like, it's going to be great. Yeah, absolutely. And then even early 30s still took a while. It wasn't till reaching the hill of 35 onwards of going, okay, I've gotten to the point where I can make peace with the uncomfortable feelings, you know, any discomfort, vulnerability. It's still going to be there. It's not magically going to go, but I can cope with it now.
We were talking about writing, and particularly memoir writing, as kind of a therapy. Was that your experience at all?
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting one for me. I just did a PhD looking at that sort of writing, so memoir and creative nonfiction, as a therapeutic process, particularly in young queer people. And there's so much there. It's so complex. Like, I could talk about it for a long time.
Oh, please do go on.
Well, it really depends where you're at, I guess, with traumas and things that you've experienced. Like, for some people, it's not going to be a helpful process. They're not far enough along. They might be still going through the effects of trauma. They might not have gone to therapy, or they might have gone to therapy but still be very much in a place where they're regularly re-traumatized by bringing up certain events. And for those people, for many of them, if they start writing about it and they're not ready, it can do the opposite
triggering.
Of being therapeutic. Yeah, yeah, incredibly triggering. It can really backfire. And so I feel like there needs to be a certain way of determining that. And I also have a bit of sympathy for myself for when I started out as a memoir writer, because there were some of the things that I started writing about that I wasn't ready to write about. And it was really hard. And I was very unkind to myself about it. And just, if it was difficult, I told myself, have a glass of red and keep going. And I definitely threw myself into the deep end with some of that writing. And so I think now when I work with some writers, particularly emerging writers, I just really talk to them about making sure that they're in a place where they've got support, a lot of forms of support around them, ideally, that they feel comfortable, they feel far enough from the events that they're writing about to look back at them in some way, rather than someone who's currently experiencing the effects and is going to be triggered badly by them.
Yeah, I do a bit of volunteer work in end-of-life biography, and I've always found that there really needs to be a moment of acceptance or something of that kind for them to go on to actually want to write their biography, because as you said, if they're not ready, it becomes opposite of helpful. It becomes a bit painful. Now, Roz, your memoir is called Mood. What can we expect when we read it?
So it's called Mood. It's a little bit of a take on the fact that it's about a mood disorder, as well as mood being just like a word that's been popularized in the last decade.
Very on trend.
Yeah, thank you. And I love a short book title. And it's just kind of delving into the layers of identity. So it goes into my Judaism, it goes into queerness, it explores gender, and then it explores mental illness and my experiences with it. And it's been it's been quite a journey in itself writing it. And I think exploring myself as a writer is something important in the story as well, and also as a teacher. So I taught at secondary school for a couple of years, and because school had been a place I associated with a lot of trauma, I thought, hey, maybe being on the teaching end will make schools not like that.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting that you went back there.
And I kind of saw it as a form of exposure therapy in a way.
Right.
Like I could go in, I can kind of help students who maybe like me when I was in school needed someone who saw them, you know, when things were tough and could connect with them and use the English classroom and writing activities to really connect with them. And I certainly feel like I was able to do that. But at the same time, I had no idea how much I would absolutely trigger myself going back into a school environment. And it just brings up all of those topics I mentioned earlier that are in the book. So experiencing things like anti-Semitism, and there's, you know, a lot of racism in schools from, you know, young people hearing things at home and repeating them.
Yes, and kids can be really brutal, really brutal.
Yeah, they can. And so kind of describing myself as even, you know, the teen that I talked about earlier, like that same person is still there, just in an adult body, and going back into the classroom, and suddenly I'm meant to be like the leader organizing and taking taking them through their curriculum, and instead I'm just going through this intense sort of breakdown, sort of, difficult process.
We were talking before about writing your own memoir. And I know that you also run workshops to teach people how to write their memoirs. What's some of your advice for anybody looking to start writing their life story?
Yeah, I really strongly encourage people to do it. One thing I encourage people to do if they want to get started before, you know, signing up to a workshop or something like that is something that really connected with me when I started out, which was picking objects of significance to them. So maybe something quite sentimental. It might not be something with, you know, a financial value, but something that just means a lot. Like I often gave the example of, you know, maybe a past pet's top collar, something like that, that has this sentimental feel, and a lot of feelings it brings up. And then just delving into it, not giving themselves too much of a prompt, seeing where it takes them. But also, there are so many different workshops and forms of support available. And I think one thing is maybe not holding off to the point where I think a lot of people do, which is thinking they need to be a particular age and have a lot of life experience. I encourage any, you know, I know like very young people may find they don't have enough that they want to write about in this form of writing. But I also encourage people not to necessarily put it off until they feel that they have a story to tell, because often when they look back over the events of their life, there's just so much richness at every stage.
How often do you hear people say, oh, but I don't really have much to talk about, I haven't really done much with my life, it's boring?
I hear people say it, and I also, when I've run some of these workshops, I find some people are there because they're writing, they want to capture the events of their life to pass on to a child or a grandchild, and they don't feel the story is worth anything in itself other than like a family record to pass on. And once we get chatting, they have just honestly the richest inner lives and stories. And I think just reminding people that it's, there's like, look for the universal in your own stories and in your writing. There's something, the more vulnerable you sort of make yourself, and the more, like, the more precision that you tell the story with, it's going to connect with people. They're going to connect with the universal, really human elements of it. Yeah. And that's what makes it fascinating. It's not about climbing Mount Everest.
I've always loved that quote, there's no such thing as ordinary, only the uncelebrated.
That's an amazing quote.
One of my favorites. Yes, yeah. I always hold to it. I'm like, you're not boring. You've got something to say. And as you said, so many of our own experiences of being human are really universal and other people can relate to as well.
Exactly. And I also find with memoir writing, it's often best to pick a little section of your life to write about, not try to write the whole thing. And so you don't have to feel like you've got the most fascinating, you know, A to B. It's just pick some part of it and go into a lot of depth, do research, find all the little interconnected stories in the wider world as well that connect to your story.
Right, and see what happens.
Exactly.
Roz, thank you so much for being so open and for sharing so much of yourself with us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Writer Roz Bellamy, their debut memoir, Mood, is out in early 2023.
Okay, bye.